Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
If I listen to your life, would you say I'm a man without conviction?
So good. So good. Friday. You know what? Just be quiet. Just listen. Let it wash over you. All right. With that, we are off and rolling on a Friday morning. Let us head to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say good morning to Mark Schlereth. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. I'm doing really good, man. Things are great. It's a rainy day here in Pittsburgh, but it was beautiful. It was warm yesterday. This is the first time. It's one of the things you got to love about Pittsburgh. It's kind of cool and scary all at the same time. Let me tell you what happened to me. I show up to the airport. I get off the plane. I get downstairs to baggage. You know, I'm looking for that guy with the panel van and the sign that says Schlereth.
That's right.
And I grab the car driver, and we're walking out. And there's a group of about eight guys that follow me out of the airport to get autographs. And
follow you?
Yeah. And so they got all their paraphernalia and pictures, like pictures printed up of me and my playing days, both with Washington and with Denver, and you know, the little pylons that are in the corner of the end zone and stuff.
These people are here for you, not just celebrity hunting. They're for you.
Right. It's got picture, like they got all my football pictures. Like this is one of the reasons not because people know me here. It's one of the reasons I love Pittsburgh is they're just huge football fans in this city. They're like blue collar football fans. The thing that was, and it was cool. It was like, I signed a bunch of stuff. I probably stood there for 15 minutes, signed everybody's stuff. And I'm talking about pictures and helmets and footballs and, you know, all kinds of stuff. The thing was, it was cool, but it's also kind of scary. Like, how do you know my flight schedule? That's the first time that's ever happened to me. So obviously you've got somebody in the airport that is like, that knows. I mean, you study when the broadcasters, I guess, like you figure out when the broadcasters, the people, the former players are coming into town, and you stalk them at the airport. Like you've got to have somebody in the inside telling you when somebody's going to land, right?
You would think, yeah.
You just can't stand.
Or you just look at the flight schedules coming out of Denver to Pittsburgh.
But,
I guess.
I went from Denver. You can't go directly from Denver to Pittsburgh. So, well, maybe you can, but not on the airlines that I fly. But anyhow, so it was cool and kind of frightening at the same time. So there you go.
Wow,
I'm in Pittsburgh, and it's a rainy day. I'm looking at the river. I love this city. One of the greatest drives ever. If you ever go to the pit, you go through the, I can't even remember what the tunnel is called. You cut through the mountain, and as you come out of this tunnel, oh, wow, I can't believe I can't remember the tunnel. You come out of this tunnel, and bam, the city is right. It's one of the most gorgeous, picturesque drives because it's right there, and it's all lit up, and you're going over the river, and it is... I'm sure you can find it on the internet, whatever the tunnel is, and the view coming out of the tunnel into Pittsburgh. Maybe one of the most picturesque drives and openings into a city, because you're out in the rural, I mean, you're out in the country, and you cut right through the middle of a mountain, and bam.
Fort Pitt Tunnel?
Yeah, Fort Pitt Tunnel. There you go, Fort Pitt Tunnel. I mean, it is one of the most gorgeous things. You know, come in at night, and it's all neon, and all the bridges, and the water, and... It's a really cool city. Tip of the cap to Pittsburgh.
Tip of the chapeau to to Pittsburgh, PA. The Ohio, the Allegheny, and what's the other one?
The Mahakamalamingam. The Malagaling. The Malagalinging.
I can't go. How do you say that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't. I don't know. Allegheny, the Ohio, and the the one that nobody can say.
The Mangalahela.
The Mangalahela?
We got some embedded. All right, here's what I'm going to ask. GTS. On the text line, I know we have some embedded Pittsburghians, Pittsburghers here.
Pittsburghers. So, that sounds delicious.
That does sound delicious. So, can you text on the Total Beverage Ramoslaw.com? Wow, that was an old old plug right there. The Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. The correct phonetic breakdown pronunciation. Because this is, I'm a stickler for these things.
Yeah.
Albert
Okwuegbunam. Or pronunciation?
Pronunciation. What did I say?
Pronunciation.
Oh, well, okay. It's pronunciation.
I mean, it's close enough. Yeah, the other day, I guess yesterday, I said, somebody told me, I said, what did I say? I said something really, I did completely, my dyslexia kicked in, and I said something backwards. And they're like, I can't believe Mike didn't get you on that. And I'm like, Mike just has gotten to the point where he's like, he may be special, but he's our special. And we just,
you nailed it.
Yes.
You nailed
it. We just.
Oh, stink being stink.
Yeah. You're just like, he doesn't even know. Our special little guy. Guy doesn't even know. He just is rambling on about something that he saw that offended him or upset. Oh, I said, tied the stem instead of stem the tide.
Oh, that's what you were going for, was stem the tide? Because I remember you say that. You said tied the stem, and I'm like, okay, I'll roll with it. You know, I didn't realize you were going for stem the tide, but okay, tied the stem.
Yeah, right. I was trying to say stem the tide, and I
thought you said tie the stem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a Fergie type thing there.
Yeah, I mean, storm the, I could, if I'm going to switch them around, then I'm going to go storm the weather. Instead of weather the storm. Yeah, I'll storm the weather.
Somebody said it's Mahgahaney.
Mahgahaney?
Mahgahaney.
That doesn't sound right.
Nah, another one said Manan.
Yes. Manan.
Manangahela. But that doesn't sound right. That sounds Hawaiian.
No, that's what it's something like that.
Manangahela. The Manangahela.
That
does not sound right. I'm gonna need more.
Yeah, people are.
I need some. I think now you're messing with us.
Trying to do.
They're messing with us.
People are trying to get me to say it on the broadcast. That's so everybody can go. What an idiot.
Okay. Manangahela.
Manangahela.
That doesn't sound Pennsylvania. Quite. That sounds more like Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. 5 minutes into the show, and Evanston and Schlereth have already lost it. Yeah, that's a Friday, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to it. Is it just me Friday where we give you a chance? It's been a wild week. A lot of stuff's been happening this week. So give you a chance to kind of recap it all. Give us those hot sports takes that have built up over the course of the week that you've picked up on, things you've listened to, here, read, watched, talked about, whatever. Share it with us, those hot sports takes with plenty of snark and humor included. It is a Friday. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. And away we go. Here we go. Buckle in, everybody. It's a Friday. Next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
By the banks of the mighty Monongahela.
Monongahela. Now that sounds right. Monongahela.
Mark Schlereth joins us from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. We're kicking the Mahunga. What was it?
Monongahela.
Monongahela. We're kicking it. It does sound like it's from Hawaii.
Yes, I know. Of course. People are like, dude, it's Native American origin. Of course. I get it. It's Pennsylvania. Sure. I got it. I'm just saying the way it sounds when you say it. It sounds good. Yeah. It sounds Hawaiian in my head.
Well, if you've ever been to Hawaii and somebody said Monongahela, you would say, hey, Melikaliki. You're like, right? I mean, you come right back. You come right back with
yes.
that, and you would just...
Yes.
They would think you were a local.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, they said, Monongahela, Melikaliki. And then you just keep walking.
Oh, my God.
Because that's exactly what would happen. 100%.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So you can't even start with me. It doesn't matter that it's Native American. It sounds Hawaiian.
Boy.
We solved that.
Got that solved. Now we can move on.
I mean, you know what? We could just, right now, we could say, hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Yep. Thanks for coming.
And just roll on out of here.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me or does Greg Dulcich look like Weird Al Yankovic?
Ooh.
Well.
Yeah, the hair.
The hair.
He's more handsome than Weird
Dulcich
Al.
Dulcich is more handsome, yes.
Yeah, Dulcich is way more handsome than Weird Al. Weird Al is, well, I mean, he's Weird Al.
He's not handsome.
No.
But very distinctive hair.
Right.
Dulcich has Weird Al type hair.
Yeah, or Kenny G hair. Kenny G kind of had that hair, too.
Well, yeah. I think the Weird Al... Weird Al's cool. Weird Al's always been cool. You know they're making a movie about a Weird Al movie? I think Daniel Radcliffe is starring as Weird Al.
Really?
I believe so. I know they're making a Weird Al movie.
Apparently we've run out of topics.
Yeah, we've run out of movie ideas.
Right. I mean, most of the movies you go see are remakes. You know, it's like Top Gun. Remakes from something in the 80s that was cool. You know, for all those people that complain about the 80s.
Right. Yeah, who's right? that?
All those people. You know the ones I'm talking about. Lots of people that complain about the 80s. The 80s seem to be like the 80s seem to be propping up America right now.
Right.
Yeah, we can't make a movie. Hey, the next generation can't make a movie without dipping back into the 80s.
Good point.
You know you're going to have a remake of The Breakfast Club, and then you're going to have, Pretty in Pink. Because that's we don't have any original ideas. Let's go back to the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I see you guys. You're not getting one by me.
On behalf of the 80s, we say, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Glad we had that conversation.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe, going to be starring as Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Weird Al. Greg Dulcich type hair. I love Greg Dulcich. Thought,
yep. Yeah, I do too.
I like him. Boy, he's
really, I like him.
Is it just me? Is it just me? I did not think that there was any way that he would be able to make this kind of immediate impact.
No.
Normally, you think a rookie, first of all, a rookie is going to be a rookie, right?
Yeah.
He's going to deal with rookie stuff. And then you take out all the time he missed in the offseason and throughout all of training camp and preseason games. You're just like, he's so far behind, he's not going to be able to make an impact until maybe the second half of the season. But boy, from the moment he stepped in, like, I want the passing game to run through him.
Yeah, he has been great, which goes to show you a couple of different things. One, you know, obviously he's gifted, right? Two, I think he's got to be very smart. And he's got to understand, like, he's got to have why he was rehabbing, paying very close attention to what's going on and what's required of him. And three, like I always tell you, Mike, that playing the tight end, that when you're in motion and you're shifting and you're, you know, part-time Y, part-time F, you know, you're playing kind of a dual role, if you will, at the tight end position, there's a lot of moving parts there. I mean, you've got to kind of understand all the receiver routes, all the tight end routes, you got to be a part-time fullback. Like there's a lot to playing that position. And you know, you've got to have a pretty good sense of what you're trying to accomplish and who you are and all those kind of things. So I look at that like it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do so far in his, you know, in his rookie year with missing, like you said, all that time and rehabbing that hamstring. It's very impressive.
By the way, the Weird Al Yankovic movie is already out. You can stream it on Roku, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well, that means I'll never see it. If it's streaming on Roku, because I don't even know what Roku is. I mean, I do, but I'm not going to spend time, you know, trying to download it or whatever.
Rainn Wilson, I know you are a big Office fan.
Oh, Rainn Wilson. Yeah.
Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight on The Office.
Dwight Schrute.
He's in this movie, but apparently he just changed his name. So he changed his name to protest climate change. So for all you fans of The Office and Dwight Schrute, Rainn Wilson, the actor, has changed his name to Rainfall Heatwave Extreme Weather Wilson. Apparently this is a thing.
What's his name? Heatwave?
He's changed his name to Rain. So Rainn Wilson is now Rainfall Heatwave Extreme Winter Wilson. He said in a video, he said, quote, as a cheap little stunt to help save planet Earth, I've changed my name on Twitter, Instagram, and even on my fancy writing paper. So he's not legally changed his name, but he's Rainfall Heatwave Extreme Winter Wilson, Dwight Schrute.
There you go.
See, folks, you are learning stuff already today.
I'm telling you what.
We are just bringing the information. We told you how to pronounce Monongahela, one of the rivers in Pittsburgh. Yep. So, hey, man, we are on our game.
About its Hawaiian origins. And bottom line, like, you came here for some sports talk and Broncos talk. What you've got is educated. You're welcome.
Well, we talked about Greg Dulcich and how much we like him. So there you go.
There you go. This has been a great show so far. This is my kind of sports talk.
This is what it is. Here's another one for you.
All right.
Is it just me or the Avalanche going to repeat? Well, no, it's not just you. But, boy, they are missing a lot of guys.
Uh-huh.
If you think about where this team was in June when they won the Cup, they played last night without Gabe Landeskog, mm-hmm. without Valeri Nichushkin.
Right.
Without Sammy Girard, without Bo Byram, without Naz Kadri, who's no longer here, without Andrei Burakovsky, who's no longer here. And yet they beat Nashville. Poor Nashville. Boy, the Avs, Nashville's daddy or what? Beat him again last night.
Yeah.
And Mikko Rantanen, by the way, making an early planting his flag for Hart Trophy, MVP of the league. Well, I know. Everyone's like, oh, Connor McDavid. Oh, he's magic, right. Magic McDavid. Yeah, do it in the playoffs. Do it in the playoffs, then we can talk. But yeah, sure, let Connor McDavid win your nice regular season. You know, he's the best over 82 games. Yay, Connor McDavid. But, yeah, Rantanen off to a huge... We'll tell you more about what the Avalanche did last night on Peter McNabb night, and it was a great night. A night of celebration, a night of grieving, but the Avs did it well. Did it really well. So we'll have the morning brew for you, and wristband gate, it will not die. And after you hear Nathaniel Hackett talk about Russell Wilson and the wristband, I think there's a very clear message being sent by the coaching staff. Tell you about it next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
Like we've said from the very beginning, we've been looking at everything and kind of thinking of anything we can do to help our process, help our offense, do whatever we have to do. Whether that's going to be reason why we win or lose a game, looking back at the Jacksonville game, I don't know. But we just always want to evaluate everything.
Nathaniel Hackett weighing in on wristband gate, which picked up momentum as the week went along. One thing, though, Mark, that was clear to me listening to both Nathaniel Hackett and then Justin Outen, who spoke later, is that the coaching staff wants Russell Wilson to wear a wristband. When you hear both Hackett and Outen in explaining when asked, hey, what are the advantages of wearing a wristband? In listening to both of them talk about it, they talked about it with a level of detail and enthusiasm that tells me they like the idea. They want him to wear it. And he wore it last week. Wore it at practice yesterday. I suspect he wears it on Sunday.
I would assume so. I mean, at this point, if you're Russell Wilson, I mean, you can't. I mean, I just think based on the, you know, the public bashing that you're taking, and you know, I mean, that's part of the game, right? That you don't perform and you have a big contract and, you know, you've got this Hall of Fame resume and your performance isn't up to what it should be. Well, then, you know, you should expect to get criticized. That's part of the game. I don't have any issue with that. And, you know, if it's true, then and it is true, then you should be able to shoulder that, right? You should be able to do that. But this is no longer about pride. This is no longer about what you want. This is about being unselfish and what's best for my football team. How do I lead this football team and how do we get out of the doldrums? And that's on Russell Wilson. And if wearing a wristband helps, even if it gives you a 2% greater chance of winning, then damn it, you better put a wristband on. You better embrace it and you better love it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We had a guy on the sideline eating a hot dog, I guess. He didn't go out there, so we had 10 guys out there, and I obviously had to address him on the sideline, and we got that taken care of. It was a transition from field goal straight to the kickoff. We didn't have a chance to huddle. Generally, we huddle on the sideline, and we count to make sure we have 11 guys. But obviously, field goal to transition on the field is a little bit more difficult. Not going to say any names, but he knows he was supposed to be out there. Going forth, we made an emphasis of everybody, all 11 guys being out there.
Okay, that's Dwayne Stukes, special teams coordinator. Nobody was actually eating a hot dog.
Delicious.
Wristband gate almost became hot dog gate.
Uh-huh.
It was a figure of speech, like, oh, guys over there eating a hot dog or something, you know, right? But he was not eating a hot dog. It was somebody who just, and by the way, the speculated person is KJ Ham or Kendall Hinton, excuse me, that was okay. Not where he needed to be. Not literally, but figuratively eating a hot dog. But boy, we wondered, nobody's ever seen it, right? Nobody's ever seen a delay on a kickoff. Well, right. There's your explanation. Stukes went on to say, you know, when asked, is this an issue of accountability? He's like, what do you mean? What do you expect me to, like, you know, go find everybody and pull them all over? I mean, we practice it. It's their job. Does that answer? And we'll get the audio. We'll play it in the next segment for you. But does that kind of answer pass with you?
That, yeah, I mean, it certainly does. You, I mean, again, the responsibility, you shouldn't have to babysit as your special teams coach. That's being plugged into the game, Mike. Like, we talk about situational football. Come on. Like, you think there was ever a time where I'm sitting on the bench and I don't realize it's third down? You think there was ever a time like I missed the first offensive snap because I'm over there, you know, standing by the heater or drinking water or Gatorade or talking to fans? What the hell are you doing? How are you not plugged in? Like, how are you not plugged into the game? And again, it goes back to what I've said a million times about this team in general, and this coaching staff in general. You're either coaching or allowing it to happen. So if Kendall Hinton isn't paying attention, guess what? I mean, I know that his gloves or whatever went in the Hall of Fame, whatever went in the Hall of Fame, you don't get to play on my team anymore. Until this coaching staff starts holding their players accountable, this is the kind of garbage that's going to continue to happen. I mean, am I on crazy pills? I'm the one on crazy pills, right?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I can't wait for you to call Broncos Raiders next week for Fox, because you're going to have that chance to get into the building and talk to these guys and ask those exact questions. So I look forward to that next on the Morning Brew.
No, it's a big loss. You know, Bradley was a very good player. He's a great teammate. I mean, he brought a lot to our team on the field and intangible-wise. And, you know, we're going to miss him. But this is the lead. That's life in the NFL. And, you know, everyone's got to be ready to step up. You know, Nick and Coop, you know, everybody.
Ejiro Evero, the defensive coordinator, talking about the now absence in the defensive lineup, no Bradley Chubb. When you did the What Did the Film Say segment and you broke down the Broncos run defense against Jacksonville, Travis Etienne, and try to project how it'll look against Derrick Henry on Sunday. You confident? Because it looked like Jacksonville, when they had success, they were running to the outside, more to the right side, than the left side, but still getting outside. Are you confident that whoever steps in to replace Bradley Chubb will hold up against Derrick Henry?
Yeah, well, their big pop-out run was off the left side, and it was an outside play, and I told you it was kind of a counter play, if you will, to their mid-zone play. So it was a really good kind of, you know, again, one of those unscouted looks that they get you with, like something you're not necessarily totally prepared for, and they set it up. You know, one of the things about the running game is you can get people to play your scheme. You know, like instead of playing individual blocks, if you can get people to play the scheme, meaning that, hey, we are running this particular play, and you're seeing this blocking combination time and time and time again, and you start playing the blocking combination, and then we wheel on you, and we change it up a little bit, and it all looks the same. That's marrying your run game to a counter on that run game. And when you can do that, you can have success, and that's what Jacksonville did, and that's good coaching. You know, that's good execution and good coaching by their players. I believe that Derrick Henry is going to get 100-plus yards. I don't think there's any question about that. But the bottom line is, can you, because they're going to play what they play, and they're going to rely on lighter boxes to stop the running game. And they won't stop it completely, Mike. But the bottom line is, they're the number one defense when it comes to stopping the pass. And they're, I think, the number one or number two defense as far as, I think they're the number one defense as far as scoring is concerned. And so when you get into the, here's one of the things, the benefit of playing that kind of shell defense. When you get into the red zone, your safeties are at 8 yards instead of 14 yards. So you're playing against a 10-man box. And they have a great understanding of run support and blocking schemes. So that's all they do. Is when they see that, you know, when they see that tight end or that end of line of scrimmage block, man, they're flying up the alley to make a tackle. And so, you know, you're 4 yards or 5 yards closer when you're in the red zone. And that's one of the reasons they're so good in the red zone. So, yeah, Derrick Henry's going to get his. Part of this is they're going to give up some of that running game to Derrick Henry. They'll give that up.
By the way, it looks like Ryan Tannehill will be playing quarterback, not Malik Willis.
Back from the foot injury that he had. So anyhow, which is good. But Derrick Henry, to me, won't be the reason they lose this game if they lose it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, we had some guys that played outstanding tonight. McKinnon was phenomenal. Logan O'Connor, phenomenal. Mingo had a pretty good night finishing, you know. If we capitalized on our chances in this game, they didn't. That was the difference.
There he is, Jared Bednar. That's a good win last night. That was a really good win. As beating Nashville 5-3. I was a little bit leery of this game because traveling back from Finland, you know, would the Avs have their legs? I know they only played two games in the span of, you know, a couple of weeks, but I still kind of wondered if their legs would be there last night. But they were. The Avs get the win. I think maybe certainly inspired. It was Peter McNabb night as the Avalanche organization remembered, recognized, honored, celebrated Peter McNabb's life. So that might have helped give the Avs a little juice that maybe wouldn't have been there ordinarily, but that's an impressive win. And boy, in the absence of key guys being out, boy, are the Avs' best players really, really elevating their game right now. Nathan McKinnon, 21 points through 12 games. Mikko Rantanen, 19 points through 12 games. They're well above a point-per-game pace. Cale Makar's at a point-per-game pace. So your stars are playing like stars and carrying this team while a lot of key guys are out. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Troy Rank will try to summarize what was, even by Bronco standards, a pretty wild week out there. Troy joins us next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, joins us, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And Troy, you've been on the Bronco beat for quite some time. Even by Bronco standards, this has been quite the week, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you don't win. All the other stories become amplified, from wristbands to faux hot dog eating on the sidelines. I mean, that's what happens when you're 3-5 and you're one of the NFL's most disappointing teams. It's a little unfortunate because they actually did win a game in London. And they have a chance to rescue this season. If you look at the schedule with Tennessee, a little compromised, and then you play the Raiders at home and then at Carolina. But, yeah, nothing surprises me with the Broncos anymore. It's just they're always in the news. And when they're not winning, they're in the news for stuff that it sometimes makes you shake your head.
Yeah, no question about that, Troy. So, you know, wristband gate was something that was made a big deal of. Obviously, Russell Wilson wore a wristband in Jacksonville. I'm expecting him to wear a wristband this week and speed up some of the operation and stuff. Do you expect him to have that wristband on? And how much help do you think it was in that Jacksonville game in London?
I absolutely expect him to wear it because they won with it, and he's practiced all week with it when I've been out there, Mark. Where it really made a difference, it looked to me, and I'm not in the huddle, but when they went up-tempo, now you can't stay up-tempo an entire game, but it clearly helped them going up-tempo. And when you go up-tempo, to be able to look at the wristband, because you know better than anyone, Mark, these calls become so verbose and they're so lengthy that to just look down at the play sheet and call it out and save you 10 seconds, that gets you out of the huddle sooner, gets you to the line of scrimmage sooner, and it also allows Hackett to stay in Wilson's ear up to the 15-second mark of the play clock. So there are advantages of it. I understand some quarterbacks don't like it. They want to kind of be at their own pace. And so, you know, Wilson's credit, you know, I think Pete Carroll, I respect Pete Carroll. I think petty Pete Carroll's been a little much with this. He's winning the divorce. We all get it. But you won a lot of games with Wilson not wearing the wristband. I mean, Geno Smith is a Rich Gannon type story. I get it. But so while people are like, why wouldn't Wilson wear the wristband before? Well, when you're successful in pro sports, you don't typically change. Now, though, it's not successful. They have struggled mightily offensively. So they're basically marking the stage of whatever works. That's why they're wearing the same uniforms on the road with the white top and the blue trousers. You know how this goes. They're looking for anything to tie a knot and hang on here. So it can help, especially with the wristband in up-tempo.
Troy, looking at the Broncos injury report from yesterday, over half the guys that are on the injury report are listed with hamstring injuries. It has been an issue, an epidemic, going back to Greg Dulcich in the preseason. So what is being talked about over there in terms of the way that they're training these guys, treating these guys? Is this something the Broncos are taking a hard look at, or is it just simply being passed off as coincidence?
No, it's obviously something that they're taking a look at because of the sheer number of it. It's going across the league, but it's particularly hitting the Broncos hard. I mean, I reported yesterday, KJ Hamler's not playing this week, and that's unfortunate because if you look at the Titans' defense, they struggle against slot receivers. You look at how Juju Schuster-Smith and Travis Kelce set in pockets of zone. This setup is a potential big game for KJ Hamler, who's coming off that 47-yard reception to set up that final touchdown. But one of the things you have to look at with the hamstrings, and I'm not making excuses, just as someone who's covered pro sports here for almost three decades, the altitude's a factor. You're coming off a bye week, and we have no humidity here. And if guys don't hydrate correctly, they get off their diet here, and then you come back out and go from 0 to 100 too quickly, I've seen it. You pull hamstrings and you pull oblique muscles, in baseball more specifically. It is a little different animal here at altitude, especially with time off and jumping back into it. In the case of Hamler, he pulled his running go routes. And so I do think you also have to not just look at how they're training and treating it, but also how you're practicing. You have to be careful to incorporate all three of these things to make sure, because these modern athletes, and I know Mark will shake his head at this, but they get trained almost like racehorses to do very specific things. And when they get out of that, I mean, I've known this from coaching kids for 15 years. They get out of that and they're not two sport athletes. They just do one. Sometimes this is what you deal with. And it's unfortunate. It's a bad look. We understand that. Injuries stink. But I do think you have to look at all the components, altitude, hydration, how you're training, but also how you're practicing, especially after a bye week.
Yeah, that's why I was such a finely tuned and hydrated athlete, so I didn't pull a hammy during my days.
Yeah, you were more Clydesdale than racehorse.
Hey, physicality. One of the things about the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel, man, they're old school. Like they're going to run the ball. They're going to be very physical. The matchup that I'm concerned about is their D line and their rotation of their front seven against the Broncos' offensive line. Now minus Kush. And, you know, it continues to kind of flip around there. So how concerned are you about this offensive line? How concerned are you about them being able to run the football and take some pressure off of Russell Wilson in this passing game?
Yeah, I mean, the one advantage they might have is, you know, you've got the Titans coming up a mini short week because they played Sunday night, and they played, what, 91, 92 plays? I mean, they were exhausted against the Chiefs. So you're hoping maybe there's a little bit of erosion from them. Jeffrey Simmons is a game wrecker up front, and I was asking multiple Broncos offensive linemen because that Jacksonville line they played was pretty salty, and they were physical. So it is a good primer, but you're right, Mark. I mean, the Broncos have to be able to at least continue to run the ball. And you talk about this all the time. 2 and 3 yard carries in the first and second quarter can become 4 and 5 in the third and fourth if you commit to it. And it's hard when you're a losing team, and especially if you get behind. But if they can keep the game even and just allow themselves to run enough to set up play action and take advantage of the soft zone coverage, they have a chance. But it's not a great matchup on paper. But the one thing, again, Tennessee's pass defense isn't very good. So if you're just able to run enough to keep them honest, you have a chance in this game if you, A, slow Derrick Henry, which they've done in 2 of 3 games against him in his career. And you've got to have enough balance to protect this offensive line. Glasgow played well at center. I've said this for a year. I thought he was a better center in Detroit than he was a guard. He's never really found traction as a guard in Denver because of heart, you know, he had a heartbeat issue. He had the broken ankle. He had COVID. He just never got on track. At center, he looks more comfortable. So maybe they find something here for a few weeks to solidify the line. I would expect Calvin Anderson at left tackle, Billy Turner to stay at right, Glasgow to start at center, and here you go. But they want a wrestling match. The one thing about the Titans, they average 18 points. The Broncos average 15. I mean, take the under, boys, because this is going to be a wrestling match.
Real humdinger. All right, Troy, safe travels to Music City. We'll talk to you Sunday as part of the pregame show. Thank you very much.
You got it. See ya.
Troy Rank of Denver 7, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. 4 Down Territory, coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.